Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and I'd love to tell you about my podcast, Dare to Lead. Innovation, creativity, building a better, more just world, all of these things require absolutely courageous leadership, especially given the complexity and chaos of the world right now. The Dare to Lead podcast is a collection of conversations with change catalysts, culture shifters, some troublemakers, folks who are really daring to create and change the world. I hope you join us.
You can learn how to play a musical instrument without having to take expensive traditional lessons. With Musician, you can learn guitar, piano, ukulele, bass, or singing at your own home, at your own pace, and for a fraction of the price of traditional lessons. Become the musician you always wanted to be. Visit musician.com/Doug to try Musician with a 20% discount using the code D-O-U-G.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Good Days Will Happen. That was suggested by Randy on Patreon. Be sure to support this show. Join the 420 Club at patreon.com/gettingdug. There's lots of perks. They're all listed there. Doug plugs. I'm going to be at Zany's in Rosemont, Illinois this weekend. Saturday, I'm doing stand-up at 420. And then Sunday, I'm doing Doug Loves Movies at 420. So if you're anywhere near the O'Hare area, be sure to come by there. And then on Monday night, May 6th, I'm doing stand-up at Zany's in Chicago. Very nice, intimate venue. For all my dates and deets, go to DougLovesMovies.com and enjoy the show. Blast off. Here we are in the spacement on a special Monday live edition of Getting Doug with High. We've got an oldie and a newbie joining us in the spacement, our Box Brown and Larry Charles. Of course, Larry's rode in on his horse before, but this is Box's first time. It's a fun name to say with the S at the end there, Boxes.
Mm-hmm. You want to have a friend named Box, don't you?
It is a great name to be able to throw around that you know somebody named that. Let me show right away. This is so exciting. Got a copy of your, would you call this a graphic novel?
I do, but it's not really a novel because it's nonfiction. So it's like graphic nonfiction, I guess.
Graphic nonfiction book.
Yeah.
Of
a saga.
Beautiful, I dare say it makes learning about the history of legalization, or I should say illegalization of weed in America. It's like, you know, a lot of it's pretty depressing and got a lot of, you know, interesting facts, but at the same time, it's all presented in such a nice way. You know, it's like, kind of like, something for somebody who doesn't like reading.
Yeah, it is.
And likes comic books.
Yeah.
It's great for kids.
Yeah, great for kids.
Yeah, give it to the kids. Does it have swearing in it at all?
Yeah, there's some swearing, but you know what? You can't hide the truth from kids.
The children must know the truth.
It actually is something that would be in high schools and stuff like that, and the high school library and things like that, too.
I would like to go to that high school. That would be a good school to go to.
Oh, speaking of, it's 19 minutes after the hour. My alarm just went off, but I've got it on silent.
So.
We got a couple of things for you guys to choose from today. We got a sativa called Tangy and an indica called Gushers. We've loaded everything up with the sativa because our guests tend to prefer that. It's funny, I was in a marijuana, what do you call it? Marijuana store, I guess, dispensary. And I was in there.
That works,
I guess. Yeah, right? And I was in there yesterday, and the sale shelves is all hybrids and indicas.
Yeah.
Because the sativas are just moving better, and I feel like people need to know that indicas aren't that much heavier than sativas.
Well, also,
It's not just that. Sativa doesn't grow. Indicas grow more bountifully than sativas. So people grow indicas because it's more cash back on it. You get make more money off of it.
But I read an article recently about the scientific basis of that, and that actually a lot of that is an illusion. Also, the difference between the two strains is not nearly as pronounced as people think it is. It's kind of a psychological or conditioned kind of response.
But it's weird, though, because if you take diamonds, like dab diamonds, which are just pure THC, and none of that flavor and like of the different strain, it's a totally different experience than when you get the full flavor from the weed. This guy knows what I'm talking about.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Please go ahead and smoke something while I.
So you go like.
You get like pipes donated. You must get a lot of pipes donated to you.
Yeah, a lot of stuff falls into my lap. All of this stuff here, I believe, has been given to me at one time or another, and people are very generous. But I also discourage it because you know, I do all right. I don't need free stuff.
But you get a lot of artistic.
A lot of it's beautiful. Yeah, a lot of it's very cool. And I want to say it again. The book is called Cannabis, the Illegalization of Weed in America. And this is interesting, like almost like a theme show, because Larry, you have a new series on Netflix.
Yes.
So you might be a little sick of talking about it at this point.
But it's coughing.
But it also has the word America. But actually, it doesn't. It's the most dangerous comedy in the world.
One hit and he's gone already.
It's in the world.
America's in the world.
Dangerous, it's called Larry Charles Dangerous World.
I'm saying they're both geographically based.
In the world, yes, right. It's not an no comedy in outer space yet. So that's next.
So you went around to lots of crazy places. Like,
yes.
Very dangerous work you were doing.
Mogadishu, Somalia.
Yeah.
Iraq. I went to Saudi Arabia. I went to Liberia, Nigeria, all kinds of Palestine, and met comedians there, just like you, only in those places.
Right. Where I mean, I did it to get laid, but they're doing it because
to stay alive.
Yeah.
It's way more important. Different career paths in America versus the rest of the world. In America, it's like pilot, stand-up special, you know, TV show of some kind. In these other countries, it's like torture, prison, death.
Yeah.
That's really their career.
That's what you get for doing comedy.
Yes, exactly.
But that's how badly people need it, is that they end up doing it anyway.
Which is the real lesson of the show for me that I learned on the road was people need it the way they need food, the way they need sleep, the way they need sex, the way they need to breathe, they need to laugh. And that was kind of a revelation for me. I didn't go in looking for that, but that's what I found.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, I think.
Yeah, we're very complacent here. We're complacent in our comedy to some degree, and we're complacent in the society because we've had it good. You know, we can smoke pot in public here. But in these countries, you can't even criticize the leadership of the country in public without risking imprisonment, torture, or death. And so the people there are willing to die for their freedom and their democracy, and they're willing to get on stage and talk about that. And that is a different stakes than we have in the comedy here. You could bomb here, but there you're literally, when there's bombing and there's killing, we're talking a literal kind of version of it.
Yeah. No, it's always been very strange to me that all the comedy words about how well you did are all so violent.
So violent, yeah. Yeah. Well, because as you know,
I brought them joy and laughter because I killed them.
Yes, yes.
You know?
They're dead.
Well, you know, comedians and cartoonists also have they're very much in touch with their darkness, their dark side, their shadows. And there is a kind of an anger that drives a lot of this kind of stuff. And so that kind of makes sense that there would be so many violent metaphors for comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, comics get persecuted all over the world, too. I mean, look at, like, Muhammad cartoons and things like that.
I met comedians in Turkey. I was in Turkey, and I met a comic book artist in Turkey who told me about a number of other cartoonists who had been jailed in Turkey. We forget that Turkey is also a place where journalists are jailed, like in Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Very, very similar kind of system. So there's suppression of ideas almost everywhere, you know, and we're like one step behind that, fortunately.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a scary thought that we could be there.
But you never went to anywhere in America.
Yes.
You did?
I did. I spoke
to... a dangerous place in America for comedy?
Well, I spoke to, for instance, Native American comedians. And so I was able to talk to them about what it's like to be a Native American in this country and try to do stand-up comedy, which is a challenge.
Yeah.
I spoke to Rick Shapiro. Do you know Rick Shapiro?
Yeah.
I spoke to people who have severe disabilities or terminal illnesses who do comedy. I spoke to black Miss Pat. You know Miss Pat?
Mm-hmm.
So I spoke to Miss Pat because Miss Pat was in prison. Miss Pat was a drug dealer. You know, Miss Pat was an unwed mother.
Oh, you should talk to Tim Allen.
And eventually, hopefully, I will talk to Tim Allen. So I talked to Americans who have been in very dangerous situations mm-hmm. in their life and who still found comedy to have that tool, to be that tool for healing.
And there's certainly plenty of people and places you didn't get to in this first run. So you're looking to do more?
I would love to do more. Look, there's always dangerous places, unfortunately. Since I did that show, you have things going on in Yemen, in the Congo, in Venezuela. I'm in touch with Venezuelan comedians right now, like Nacho Redondo and these guys who are dealing with the same thing in a chaotic a country that's undergoing kind of a revolution. And they're trying to be comedians and talk about what's going on and stay safe at the same time. So yes, there's lots of places to visit where this story continues.
Right on.
Thank you.
Everybody, even if this doesn't sound interesting to you, just download it on Netflix just to give him the hit.
Yeah.
But also,
you know?
Here's the thing.
I mean, he did do a very good job describing it.
No, I made it sound terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's actually really...
I'm sure it's very funny.
It's fun.
I'm
funny.
Scared of it, to be honest with you.
Yes.
It scares me.
I feel the way about Game of Thrones. I don't want to watch because I want to see all those people die. This, at least at the end, you'll laugh and feel better. So.
I watched it last night and it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, don't tell me because I haven't seen it yet. So.
Well, I don't know how I reacted to
it. Yeah,
people die in my show also. People do die in my show, and it is sad when they do die.
Of course.
It's a real thing. It's real, you know. And comedy in that context is not often examined.
And Netflix is just a great place to do something like that with because They didn't give you notes or anything.
Yeah, I don't think anybody else would have let me do it. So they did let me do it, and I'm extremely grateful about that, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, like, do you have somebody... I know you're, like, running this whole thing, and I've been doing it for a super long time. I'm just trying to relate it to my world. Do you have somebody that you bounce the stuff off of, like an editor? Or are you just executive decision...
Well, I have to be able to sort of stand behind my decisions the way you do when you do your work. You know,
It's just me. You're you have all.
But I do need. I certainly, as Doug does, or in this kind of a medium, you need other people, and you need to trust those other people, and you need to trust their judgment and taste also.
Yeah.
So yeah, I will bounce things off. But I'm very spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And a situation like this, like we're walking in Mogadishu, I just need a crew that can pivot.
Sure.
You know,
yeah,
if things are looking like they're dangerous here, to go this way or turn the camera on or do, and that kind of stuff is you need a crew that's in sync with you.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then everybody's together.
Yeah.
It works like a team.
Is it safe to assume you over the years you've used some of the same people because obviously you weren't being sneaky about filming with the dangerous comedy specials, but with the Borat stuff and Bruno,
the Borat guys, the guys who I shot Borat and Bruno with were the same guys because they were also not just willing to pivot, turn the camera, but also stand there people are about to beat the shit out of us, and I would say, keep filming. Do not turn that
That's
camera
the part
off.
We really need to get.
We're never going to be in this situation again. You must keep filming, and those guys had the balls to do that, and so I used them again, obviously, yes. That wasn't called for here, fortunately.
So I did a book about Andy Kaufman,
right.
And I often think about Borat as kind of like something that character, Andy Kaufman, it's an Andy Kaufman... thing.
Absolutely. Well, I work with Andy Kaufman on a show called Fridays, if you've ever, you obviously know that. And so I was one of the writers on that show when he disrupted the show. We all planned that backstage.
Michael Richards.
Michael Richards, most of them, the actors didn't really know.
Okay.
The actors didn't know. The crew didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the writers knew, and they watched with glee as we kind of broke through this fourth wall.
Right.
It was really a very transgressive act. And yes, it is a connection. It's kind kind of almost an anti-comedy connection. Yeah. From Andy Kaufman, who wasn't interested in getting laughs, he was interested in a reaction.
Right.
And Borat and Sasha, with Sasha.
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Definitely.
So I love Andy Kaufman. I wrote a book about Andy Kaufman.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, me too.
Love him. Yeah, yeah. So like Andy, right? Like he, man, he's so great. He was so great. So he influenced pro wrestling in a way, and he doesn't get any credit for this, right?
So true.
Right, yeah.
So true. He died in 1984. He was like one of the first celebrity
Maybe.
In pro wrestling.
Even the fact that got any play at all shows you the magic of Andy Kaufman.
Sure.
That people would even consider that he was kidding about that, you know?
Yeah. Right after he died in 1985, then it was like Cyndi Lauper, Mr. T, all the stuff.
All those people died?
No.
Captain Lou.
Yeah, no, it's true. He really, I even went and saw him live at a show where he just wrestled random people. Mm-hmm. And it was at a school down in San Diego, college. And he got that whole kind of like comedic heel thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was,
you know,
he
where
was,
like
yeah.
you, you're having fun hating a person.
He was better at it than half the guys.
That's exactly right.
He was better at it than half the guys on the roster when he was in Memphis. Like he was came in from outside and was amazing at it. Like as good as Jerry the King Lawler.
Certainly went head to head with him on Letterman
Absolutely.
And stuff.
But you're right. He changed the audience dynamic because he kind of found in wrestling this concept of the audience being part of the show. Mm-hmm. Like the audience knows it's fake, but they love it anyway. It's enjoyable, it's cathartic to root for the bad guy or feel good about the good guy losing.
Right.
And Andy Kaufman tapped into that in a comedic way that had never really been mm-hmm. done before. I mean, mm-hmm. he broke so much ground in his short time doing his comedy that it's still felt today in a lot mm-hmm. of ways.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. He's one of the most influential, if not the only influential, comedian there really is. Maybe he and Richard Pryor are the two most influential comedians that still have an impact today.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be saying that about you in 10 years. I promise.
Yeah, we'll see. I was just trying to run through my head other names of people that have had that kind of impact as those two, and it's, you know.
It's few.
And the ones that do, they blow it at somewhere along the way. I mean, certainly Richard Pryor had some awful bad things going on in his life, but his comedy legacy seems to be pretty
set. Are you thinking about, like,
pretty
Eddie Murphy
set. Or like,
Steve Martin, even?
Or Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Well, nothing will help an icon more than early death. You know? I mean, that's what preserves the legacy,
yes.
You know?
Yeah. So. I mean, can you imagine if Cosby died at the height of the Cosby Show?
Yeah.
He would be a deity for the rest of time.
Nothing would ever get exposed.
Exactly. Or if Elvis Presley was alive today, sad that would be, you know? But it was John Lennon's birthday recently. You forget that, you know, he died at 40. Whereas McCartney had to go through a whole series of stages where he got no respect at all for a long time. And now he's alive so long, he's one of those guys like Betty White, people are just respecting him for being alive still.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
So it works out okay.
Being alive and always seeming perky.
Yeah,
you know,
so
he never shows
perky.
Up anywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
one of the early public pot smokers, by the way. He was an early public pot smoker.
Yeah, no, and that's why when people say to me, how can you fly with weed? I go, because if you couldn't, we would read about famous people getting arrested with it all the time. Because that's what happened to the Beatles. They couldn't fly anywhere without getting arrested for having something.
So true.
All right, we got to go to our first break. This is awesome. Having a lot of fun here in this basement in Culver City. And we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Looking for a snack that's peanut better? Pop Chips Nutter Puffs have improved upon the timeless snack classic peanut butter. Nutter Puffs have taken everything you love about peanut butter, all that joy, all those memories, and packed it into one perfectly snackable puff. Nutter Puffs is the latest craveable creation from Pop Chips, a brand that knows a thing or two about snacking your heart out. Nutter Puffs are crispy corn puffs coated in real peanut butter and packed with 5 grams of protein per serving for a snack that's as satisfying as it is sensible. Made with simple ingredients, it's the simple joy of peanut butter in every bite. What I love about Nutter Puffs is they are a perfect afternoon snack. The chocolate peanut butter ones are great for when I'm looking for something a little sweet and savory. Stock up on Nutter Puffs today. Go to amazon.com/popchips and use the code 20DUG, that's the number 20 plus DUG, at checkout to get 20% off your order of Nutter Puffs. That's amazon.com/popchips with special code 20DUG.
In a lot of ways, the leader of Canada is not like the leader of the United States. Justin is 52, Joe is 81, but the two do share some struggles. Trudeau's been in office for a while, he's being challenged by a conservative populist, and he's struggling in the polls, especially with young people. But now, he's got a plan to fix it, all of it.
Among the $52.9 billion in new spending,
proposing a $23 billion program to get nearly 4 million homes built between now and 2031.
He's got a budget that speaks directly to millennials and Gen Z, or Gen Z as he calls them, and he's hoping it'll keep populism at bay in Canada too. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is going to join us on Today Explained to tell us all about it. Today Explained, Vox's daily news podcast, Monday through Friday in your feeds.
Is the fun in the bedroom ending a little too quickly? Want it to last longer? I know most guys aren't thrilled at the thought of opening up to a doctor about performance problems, but with ForHims.com, the wellness brand for men, you can get access to physical consultations and prescription treatments online. Just visit ForHims.com and they'll connect you to a doctor online who can evaluate you and help identify the right treatment for you. Then it will be delivered right to your door in discreet packaging. This means no more awkward in-person doctor's appointments. So if you want to slow your roll and make the good times last, go to ForHims.com. And now, my listeners and viewers get a special offer. You can get started for just $10 when you go to ForHims.com/Doug10. That's ForHims.com/Doug10. See website for full details and safety information.
Yeah.
How many comedies do people die at the end?
Well, only ones made by Larry Charles.
That's right.
Apparently.
Yeah. I had more deaths like on Seinfeld. I used to kill people on Seinfeld, even.
That was always your idea?
I love
like
that.
The
yeah,
I love all that.
Because it's like it's a sitcom and you get to kill somebody. I like that concept, you know. That seems exciting to me. But that's me.
All right. Okay. Well, we're back with That's Larry Charles and Box Brown, the author of Cannabis, the E-Legalization of Weed in America. Also, Draw the Pretty Pictures.
Well, I thought you were going to say my name. I'm pretty sure it really waved. Now I feel lame.
What?
I thought you were going to say my name, so I started waving because I had smoke in my mouth, but then you didn't, so I'm just over here waving. Anyway, hi,
I'm just going on and on about our guests. That's Alicia, everybody. And she is going to lay some heavy... Is it heavy this week or light or a little of both?
You know, news is always heavy. Heavy
that's true.
Because it matters. Well, I'm inspired to bring this up first solely because of this hat. Texas, congratulations.
Yay.
Because Texas has been a medical state. However, it's only been for very extreme cases of epilepsy, and only 50 doctors in the whole state could even prescribe that. So
it's a huge state.
A huge state.
Very big.
So that was really difficult, and they did just, they have a new bill now, and it's going to take a little bit to go into effect, but it really does cover physical and mental and neurological conditions. It's very thorough and good, so.
For the record, I'm from Brooklyn, by the way. Just not from Texas.
Yeah.
I got thrown from a horse when I was in day camp once, Ooh. And that's about it, so.
Yeah, you just,
the hat works.
So you just like the hat. That's what you're saying.
You gotta be crazy not to wear a cowboy hat if you wanna deal with sun. You know, it's like, it's such a practical hat. People don't realize they have this kind of image that it means something like you're a cowboy, but actually it's just pragmatic.
It just means you hate the sun.
There's only a few of those hats you can choose from. It's like that, pith helmet.
It's right. You know, you're not gonna wear a pith helmet. You know, a pith helmet's too much of a commitment, I think. So this seems like I can integrate.
I good.
Yeah.
Ingratiate
you know,
myself.
Like you pulling off the baseball cap, that's that works for it's to a certain point, but you know, after a while it's like, what are you
It's hard to buy a baseball cap if you don't like any sports.
Right. So I like blank ones.
I got this one was blank.
To start zero conversation.
This was blank and I bought a cap.
You just look at your hat and go, well, I can't really
whatever. Yeah.
It's a nice color, I guess.
Cowboy hats don't have a, see, they should do that.
Yeah.
Cowboy hats with things on them.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot.
There's a business idea. Somebody write that down. All right.
I gotta throw in something here, Alicia, real quick.
Sure.
I'm very excited about this. Every year, Jimmy Pardo, our friend that doesn't smoke weed, so he's never been on this show, he does a thing called the Podcastathon, and it's like a really long show that you know that streams live, and it is basically a charity event for this for Smile Train. Are you familiar with Smile Train?
No.
They're the people that go out in the third world countries and fix little kids that have a cleft palate.
Oh, wow, yeah,
they,
sure.
You know, one surgery costs about $250 and changes their whole life.
Wow. Mm.
And so every year, they've I think they've raised like $1 million so far doing this podcast-a-thon every year. So it's this Saturday, May 4th, you can watch it live at nevernotfunny.com. And then also we're going to have, if you go to podcastathon.com or smiletrain.org/podcast, hopefully we'll get all of this on the screen. But if you go, you know, figure it out. Figure out a way to get there. Also, the douglowsmovies.com site has links to an auction where you can bid to be a guest on this show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll hopefully get, like, you know, somebody's, like, you know, a few hundred dollars.
I'll read Pod Topics right to their face.
Yeah. I want $500 or more because that'll be at least two children will get the surgeries. And, yeah, Smile Train's a great organization if you just want to go just straight up donate. All right. So all of that's out of the way. Back to Alicia with more Pot Topics.
Well, I thought having you on today, we would actually, we talk so much about America. But, you know, cannabis is all over the world, so I thought we'd talk about some of the countries that are still the most dangerous to have cannabis in currently. You probably have some good guesses of what those might be, I'm assuming.
I know the South Asian countries like Thailand and those countries, any kind of drugs you have, they will immediately kill you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I
don't mess around at all in other countries.
Yeah.
I just don't because
it's not worth it.
Most countries are really draconian when it comes to their rules.
I ran into this issue, right? So I went to France last year and like, I don't know about you guys, but like taking a week off cold turkey is very difficult.
Know.
Yeah, it's hard, man. Actually, like my symptoms, like you know, it's difficult.
So that's the longest period I go without smoking these days is on a flight to Europe.
Right.
You know,
just the flight.
Just the flight. Yeah.
So like I brought some edibles with me to France, and my publishers were like, "You're fucking nuts, man. What are you?" And I was like, "I had to. I don't know what to do, man. Yeah. You got to do something." Yeah, it's very difficult. These other countries.
But so you brought the stuff and nothing bad happened.
No.
Yeah, because it's edibles.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just looked like.
You could take vapes. I mean, you could take almost anything. Like you say, they're not really bothering anymore with that stuff.
Well, especially domestically.
Domestically.
But when you travel internationally, it gets tricky.
And you never know how little it might be that could get you into trouble. It just is not worth it. You know, it's really not worth it at this stage of history.
Yeah. And also, you know, maybe next time try to just know people there.
Yeah. You know? No, it's funny when I do that.
Friends when you get
when
there.
When I do that in Europe, though, they all put tobacco in their joints. And
that's
makes
true.
Me want to
right.
die.
That's
I
true.
Can't
makes me
do that
feel
either.
Way more messed up.
That
than
got me back on cigarettes for a while, actually.
Oh,
I wound up smoking so many spliffs with tobacco that I wound up going back to cigarettes. It took me 7 years to get off it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, where else should we not go with weed? Where else is super dangerous?
You tell me.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, just to give some facts, because there's so much we could talk about here. Singapore is kind of considered to be the most dangerous still. And so there's death for anything that's over 500 grams.
But that's a lot.
You don't deserve death.
It is a lot, but you're going to be punished for pretty much any amount. But the reason it's actually considered to be the most dangerous is not just because of that, but it's because a lot of these countries are very harsh on their own people if they're caught. But if a foreigner, you know, if we as an American go, it's more likely you're just going to be deported. But Singapore does not care where you're from, and they're going to treat you the same no matter what. So I think more as a traveler standpoint, in fact, I was reading that Singapore is on the Canadian, not on their no-fly, but they have really heavy warnings to not even go there because Singapore can also drug test you as soon as you land. And if you test positive, even though you consumed it in a completely legal place, they can still, you know,
do
proceed.
Not tour Singapore.
So pretty crazy. I didn't know that.
But you know, if I may, there are Americans in American prisons who are there for two joints who are still doing time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's
so
insane.
It's pretty crazy here as well, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Depending on what state.
And all the stuff that in these other countries, right? So this is in my book. So let me talk about it a little bit. So
yes, of course.
We, this was like our idea, America's idea to make this illegal. And we forced everybody in the UN to sign off on it and make it illegal in their countries. So this was an American idea that we spread out. Now, things might have turned out differently if we didn't do that. They might still have illegal weed in Singapore, but like, we made all of these countries in the 50s sign on to this illegalization thing, including India, which had been using cannabis in their culture for time since time immemorial, and we made them make it illegal. We can imagine if we made, if Americans made, or if India made red wine illegal for Christian services, the kind of outrage that would cause. Anyways, but this is what we did. America did this.
What weed did.
What weed did.
And that was basically just to put people of color and the poor in prisons.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the same thing when you think about it, when I started
doing
research.
True here as well.
Yeah, well, this was the point of it. Yeah. When I just started doing research, you know, you're like, I know that like people of color are put in prison now in greater numbers than white people, even though use rates are the same. But I didn't realize that that was the point of the law from the beginning,
right.
Was to do that.
Right.
And it's functioning the way it was supposed to. And I like, that's what makes me crazy about in the East Coast, we're still dealing with legalization. We have medical, but it's very fucked up because it's really, really high priced. And it's like companies that are out, that started out here, like Cresco, Yaltra, started out here. Now they can't compete in this actual market, so they're going into all these states that are just medical, making it so they're one of the only companies allowed to produce, and then charging extremely high prices to patients only. PA is a patient-only state, and the stuff that Cresco's charging $65-$80 for there goes for $40 here, and it's a high price, high tax state. So it's like this insane price gouging of all patients. I go to the dispensary, it's medical patients. There's people mobility issues, they're not letting people have visitors to help them get to the dispensary. You have to get a patient caregiver card, even to like wheel somebody from the door to the place where they're getting the weed. So it's wild here. I think people don't forget that live on the West Coast because it's so different. The East Coast is still completely draconian, and it's not getting better. And politicians you think that are on your side are not.
New Jersey, we talked so much about on the show about, because we were like, this is going to happen. They are going recreational in the next month. And I don't think anybody
saw that.
And what
they didn't do, because they were trying to make this legal recreational thing happen, they're like, it's going to happen. We don't have to fix the worst medical cannabis system in the country because this recreational law will fix it. And then it didn't pass. And now they still have the worst medical laws in the country, $600 ounces for patients. There's two dispensaries in the whole state. Like, it's terrible. Sorry to be a downer.
No, it's all right. But there are, this country's bad healthcare.
But there are little good things. I mean, there is the fact that there would be less incarceration
absolutely
in those places.
But that's what we should be focusing on. The New Jersey law should just be, first thing, legalization. No more arrests. Stop the bleeding. Then
let out everybody you have arrested for those crimes.
Then take your time. Then take your time figuring out how you're going to sell it. Do whatever. But you're stopping. New Jersey's still arresting like something like 59 people per day. They want to get the money from the arrests right up to the moment where it's legalized so they can turn them into customers. Right. They don't want any gap there.
But there are issues, and I'm curious how you feel about this actually, because there are issues in the California pot industry also. Mm-hmm. Like right now, what's going on in the economics of the California pot industry is that the black market is surging again, despite the burgeoning legal market, because it is overpriced, because of the overhead.
It's a super high tax.
East Coast taxes are, I think,
people
the worst.
Are still turning to the black market to buy their pot in a state like California, where you can walk into any dispensary and buy it legally.
The thing that's going to change everything is if they deschedule and allow shipping over state lines, all of this stuff ends, because then you can order. It's a real market. It's a real competition. Only the strong will survive. And all these places that are the crazy fluctuation high pricing is just going to bottom out. The price is going to go way down, because we all know it's like growing tomatoes. Imagine they charge $5,000 a pound for tomatoes. Like, that wouldn't make sense to anyone. So that's what they're doing with cannabis.
But will it be classified in order to go across state lines? Like, think how much difficulty it is with even like tobacco or alcohol still to cross state lines to distribute. It may be the same problem with pot.
But they
unless
do
it's
it,
treated,
though.
It's done. It's done in a very different system. And again, like, that costs a lot of money for the apparatus and the infrastructure of that system, and somebody has to pay for that.
But
also.
Right now, but the shipping system. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
The shipping system for beer is way different than weed, though.
Yes.
It's a completely, and you can
but
go.
But your idea, which I think is a great idea, which is once across the state lines, the rules will change.
Absolutely.
But that's
change.
What they have to figure out is how to cross state lines. What rules need to change to make that happen, to bring the prices down and make it more egalitarian, you know?
But if it's descheduled, they can't stop it from happening. It's happening. That's it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Right. I mean, well, that's like the end of Prohibition, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's something that happened.
Yeah.
You know, we were able to, as a country, we were able to start Prohibition and end Prohibition, and certainly that's possible now too.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And at this stage, at least we have that people can not only have, it's legal to have it in recreational states, but it's also legal to grow it yourself.
Right.
Which is.
This is so important, right?
It's a huge thing, because I'm so glad that the lawmakers are putting that in there, because they're turning their back on a lot of important
and
things.
These
but
companies,
in that case, it's great that the individual
in
can
New
just
York,
absolutely.
All these all the medical companies had gotten together and created a lobbying group to lobby against home grow. So they would be the only ones allowed.
Yeah.
As long as you have home grow, almost nothing else matters, because like then. Ship it over state lines, figure that out whenever. I could always grow it in my basement.
Charge us what you want for it.
Yeah, I could still make it
cheaply.
Well,
that's how laws often change by societal or cultural changes that precede it. People see that it's no longer a problem, it's no longer a crime, people are growing it in their house, and the laws become irrelevant at that point, you know, and that hopefully is something that can happen too.
And it does seem like we're very close to it becoming federally legal. The States Act is really moving along,
absolutely.
And at this point, both sides are for it.
Mm-hmm. And the Banking Act, I feel like the banks want this,
right.
And they have a lot of power. And so, like, to make a special carve out just for the banks, that's not really going to fly, really. Like,
that's a big issue here, by the way. Because if you go into the pot store,
they're
can't use a credit card. Yeah, and that's exactly now. Who do you
be
feel
changing.
Is behind that sort of gulf between being able to use the credit cards or not?
Well, I think it's just a federally. They can't be banking a federally illegal.
Yeah, thing. It's just a crime thing.
Right,
yeah,
right.
So if that changes, then they can start banking. I mean, like. I just don't think you should give a special carve out just for the banks to be able to deal with this illegal, federally illegal thing. It should be not federally illegal. Yeah. The banks can do whatever they want.
Isn't there like a credit union somewhere that has said, fuck it, we're going to deal with pot businesses? Didn't we say something about that on the show?
There's a bank, there's a group that is trying to start a bank, actually, in California in order to do exactly this, to bypass. Uh-huh. The banking rules and just be purely a pot bank,
right?
Basically, and I don't know what the progress of that is, but that seems like.
I think
that doesn't deal with the main issue that you're talking about.
I think
it should be
de-scheduled. Breaking Bad showed us like you can't have an all cash business. The rats eat it. You know what I mean? Like you can't do it.
A mattress could catch on fire.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right, sure.
All right, fellas.
The wind,
and lady.
The wind is a
thank
danger.
Thank you, Elisa.
Yeah.
We've got to go. We got to go to another break. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everyone. This is Jesse David Fox, host of Good One, a podcast about jokes. I am proud to announce that I have personally won the Streaming Wars. And there's a new docuspecial on Peacock based on our own Vulture podcast. Good One, a show about jokes. follows Mike Birbiglia as he develops new material, taking audiences through the process of transforming personal stories into stand-up. Featuring interviews with Mike's family and comedy colleagues like Seth Meyers, Hasan Minhaj, and Asko Akatsuka, Good One, a show about jokes, is streaming now only on Peacock.
Admit it, you think cybercrime is something that happens to other people. You may think that no one wants your data or that hackers can't grab your passwords or credit card details, but you'd be wrong. Stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. So if you want to take action and protect yourself from cyber criminals, use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, phone, and tablet, and turning it on only takes one click. I feel safer using public Wi-Fi because ExpressVPN keeps me from being snooped on or having my personal data stolen. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/Doug. That's expressvpn.com/Doug for 3 months free with a 1-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/Doug to learn more.
Hey!
Very pricey.
Yeah. Wow, lively chat during the break. Everybody's excited about Taylor Rizzo, the dab king of Southern California.
Remember when Trump,
with his machine.
Remember they took that picture of Trump in Saudi Arabia when he was looking at that glowing ball? That's what this thing is like right now.
It's a really fun item we've been using on the show for people who want to do dabs. I don't know where you're at, Box Brown or Larry Charles, in this new world of dabbing.
I'm a virgin. Beyond joints and a pipe, I'm pretty much a neophyte.
Would that be fun for you to do your first dab ever on a live internet show?
I guess I'm here, right? So
go for it.
I have to be open to it.
Yeah.
Do we have like a cold towel or what would we need? What would he need
like
if
pillow.
It goes bad? A pillow? Yeah, do we have a cot? These chairs are pretty comfortable.
With all the
flying you must do with all these projects that you shoot all over the world,
yeah.
You must be able to fall asleep sitting up.
Yeah, but not laying down.
Wow.
That's the problem.
It's flipped. You can only fly when you're on a plane.
I mean, only sleep
when you're on a plane.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm in like a hotel room in Mogadishu. You can't sleep in a room like that. Shit's going to happen. You have to sleep with one eye open all the time.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes I'm like good at sleeping on planes and sometimes
Well, you sufficiently scared me about the dab, so I can tell you that. You're talking about the most death-defying experience I've had. You're saying, well, this is kind of like that.
Fine.
Yeah, no, I think you'd be able to handle it just fine, but it might cause you to cough quite a bit.
Okay.
But watch all of us do it, and then you can.
Right, there you go.
Then you can decide.
Yeah, well, Taylor does one.
We're all mortals. I mean, you know, I should be able to live through it if you do.
I think so. Let me list off some of these generous
Patreon. This would be ironic, though, if I did keel over right here. You'd have something.
Boy, would we have something.
You would have something really good, man.
You
want that to happen just because it would be so cool.
Thank you, 420 Club members. Peter Filardo, Dan Kim, Stephen Hirsch, hi all the time. Someone's name on there. Dusty Weber, Tiffany Overton, Ben, Sean Wareheim, Timothy Hogan, and Brian O'Neill. Thank you to all you guys for doing that. Why are my cards all messed up? What did you do?
Oh, sorry, man. During the break, I was kind of
What kind of sneaky
them.
Business?
He did a card trick.
I was just hiding something from myself, so that's why
very
I
impressive.
Got
it. It was good. I was blown away.
Thank you.
How'd that dab feel, Taylor?
Right. Super.
Let me give her a go, please.
Yeah.
We'll see. This is where I'm at with dabbing, is that like when they're available, I do them. Like I don't have any kind of...
How would you compare it to like a normal hit off of any of these other devices?
I'd say it's like a big bong rip that gets you there on the first one.
Yeah.
Like you get high.
It's a little more. It's a little
you get
more
high
instant.
Like immediate.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is also why it's good on a show like this to do this with people who are already kind of high.
Right. Yeah. Right,
I think just doing a dab cold might be a little even more jarring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, going but from 0 to 100.
I don't know, because I don't think I've ever done a dab where I wasn't already a little high. But where do you, do I just press the button?
Yeah, press the middle button again.
That one?
Yeah, let's see if it...
And wait for it to go green? There we go.
There we go.
I'm so lame that you're going to do everything.
Yes.
And I'll just inhale.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah,
just
and
breathe.
The big thing to remember is that once you've taken it all in, you can blow it right out.
Okay,
you
know? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to hold
nobody
it in.
Nobody cares
yeah,
if you hold
yeah,
it in.
That's good to know also. Yeah. Thank you.
Here we go. Reload it.
And the dab itself is what? What is a dab?
Oh, so dab is a concentrated resin, basically.
Okay. Taylor's sick of describing it.
Yeah. Like a sort of a almost a hash-like kind of...
Yes, but yeah. It's so like there's
hash still has a lot of that
it.
Plant material mm-hmm. inside of it,
right.
So it's just a more refined process to mm-hmm. reduce any sort of plant fibers that's in it. It's just the chemical extraction.
And can you buy that at a dispensary, dabs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah? Yeah, okay. Thank you. This yes, is absolutely. Fascinating, by the way.
Just like a little, little jar.
I feel like I'm on like one of the Vice shows or something. Yeah. You know?
Those are great for. That's great for travel, right there. It's so small and.
I try to travel light. You
that's
know?
Like and a whole. Not that like, thing, but the dabs, because it's like.
Yeah,
it's
oh, the dabs. Yeah, yeah. Those are good. Yeah.
Right in the shaving kit.
I'm going to be on an episode of their the Vice show, Bon Appetit.
Yeah.
Nice.
It airs in a few weeks, and I'm just like I'm dreading it because. Like, you know, the people that are the judges on food shows, they always just like take a bite, maybe even have a spit bucket, you know, in between takes or whatever. Like, they don't really eat the food. And they brought us big portions, and I was so high. Because they had a guy doing dabs just on the set. Just a guy like, hey, want a dab? I was like, sure. And so then I get really high, and then the food starts coming, and the food was all delicious. So I think it's just going to look funny on a food show. I mean, it's going to look like I'm really high.
Yeah.
Because I just eat it all. I just could not stop eating it. And like, you know, because also it takes a while, you know, before yeah. they move on to the next setup and the next item or whatever. So the plate's in front of you, so you just keep eating it until you've eaten, you know.
How
I ended
they,
up eating a 7-course meal or something.
And people are out vomiting in the parking lot later. That's what
yeah, I didn't feel great after.
The milligram dosage of a whole meal in that, like, like, all right, so the chicken is like whatever.
Well, they didn't go, I don't think they go crazy.
Yeah,
I don't think
really...
they go crazy with the amounts because they don't want anybody to like, you know, because you, if you're eating a lot of food that has weed in it, it could cause you to throw up.
Yeah,
you
know?
It could make you sick.
Right.
They're using different formulations of weed as well. They have crystallized stuff and they have all kinds
they also
of.
They throw sometimes fresh.
CBD gets involved, like where it's just like, you know, you're not going to be high, but you're going to feel better.
Do you let people come in?
I don't know how that works.
Do you let people come in here and just smoke CBD?
We haven't done it, but I would love to give that a whirl.
You were like a CBD pen.
The dude before, you were like, this guy can't come on because he doesn't smoke weed, but what if he just smoked CBD?
He could, but then that's probably also, he's probably just also not a smoker of anything,
yeah.
you know? So
right.
just the act of smoking
sure,
would just
sure.
be weird and make
right.
them cough and feel bad about themselves, maybe. But I don't know, yeah. I just, if one time a guest came on and said, I've decided I don't want to smoke, and just, I don't ever look at the comments, but it was relayed to me
right.
that the viewers were very displeased.
Right. I mean, it is kind of like the whole point.
So I don't
right.
want to bring that on someone.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't think it's
right,
fair to invite right. somebody mm-hmm. somewhere where they're mm-hmm. sort of going to get kind of internet ambushed
right. That's true.
By a bunch
yeah.
of dickheads who, like, yeah. you know, are just there to, they're just having fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just having their version of fun.
Yeah.
Just being mean,
you know,
to strangers.
I mean, I think that's part of the reason to watch it live is to comment.
Sure.
Yeah, you know? For sure. Again, part of the show.
That's
it
definitely
is.
Part
it
of
is.
The fun of
yeah.
the YouTube in general is
yeah,
feeling
yeah.
comments.
Yeah. And I'm sure some of the comments are funny, but I'm also it's just the meanness to it that I can't.
Yeah, the ratio is off.
I can't
yeah.
look at it, especially
yeah, yeah.
I don't want to look at them saying mean things about my guests or
yeah.
anybody
yeah.
else involved in the
anything.
Show.
You don't want to become self-conscious about
very
what you're
mean.
Doing.
It's
and
very
that's what
mean
happens
because
they're pointing out every weakness. You know,
yeah.
and you're like, listen, I have to deal with myself.
I'm
trying
to relax and smoke weed with people
yeah,
and see what happens. And then
back
share
off.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. Just back off a little.
Mostly get to see it for free, and you can fast forward through the commercials.
There you are.
This is already free.
That's
right.
Pro tip.
And when it goes green, it's good to hit.
Cool.
There you go.
And you just pull that little.
You can pull
yeah,
it
you
on
don't
and
have
off.
To,
it's
but
fun. It's showy.
Yeah,
it makes you look like you know what you're
does
doing.
It feel exciting.
Yeah, Yeah, that's nice. That's another thing, you get the flavor, I think, really strongly with dabs.
Okay, good.
When you're smoking.
And purple means what? It's empty?
Yeah, purple's just the base color when it's just back to normal.
Got it. There's a lot to remember, man. It's like
Oh, and there's so many of these. A lot of times when, you know, somebody says, let's do dabs, somebody brings out like a blowtorch.
Right.
And like, so that's very intimidating, but, you know, also the same result as this, but this is really a nice way to do
this
it.
This can be a different kind of intimidating, though, where you're like, what?
Yeah, it's all the electronics. Like,
you know, people, people love paraphernalia. People are just so into paraphernalia in all cultures, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get the plugs in because we're almost done. We have a hard out at the end of the show, so I want to make sure that I say.
Hard out for me, I think.
Larry Charles's Dangerous World of Comedy is streaming now on Netflix.
Thank you.
And, we forgot to talk about it. Alicia saw some of it. Yeah, she was into it.
Did you like it?
I love it. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
But by it, when I say some of it, it's because it's hard. It's hard to watch.
Yeah.
I can't believe you did it.
me either. It's hard for me to believe it. You know, I don't know what I was thinking.
You seem too chill to be doing something so intentionally
smoking, I'll tell you that.
Dangerous.
I was very sober.
Yeah. Oh, and so the book is called Cannabis, The Illegalization of Weed in America by Box Brown's gentleman right here. And it's a nonfiction graphic novel about weed. You can get it now. He brought me a Weed Limit 69 shirt. I'm very excited to have. If it doesn't fit me, I'll give it away on the show soon. And you live in Philadelphia, though, right?
Yep.
Would it be fun for you to be on Doug Loves Movies?
Heck yes, it would be fun.
Oh, let's do it. I'm going to be in Philadelphia in a few weeks.
Let's do
it.
In June. Let's do it.
So I'll get to you about that. cool. Did Larry dab yet?
No.
Yeah, okay.
Ready?
Big finish. I like this.
All right.
I got
green,
in all the
ready.
Plugs okay. and everything.
And I'll pull this thing off.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And if you want to sit here and dab with us, all it takes is winning an auction at Podcastathon this weekend. Look at him go.
Let's keel over.
Larry Charles.
Good.
Died with his cowboy hat on.
He died sort of in the saddle.
Yes. Kind of. All right. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Alicia. Yeah, thank you, everybody on the crew. Thank you to Larry and Box. Bye-bye.
Learning to play an instrument can be discouraging, especially when your only option is traditional lessons that can be too rushed, pressured, and expensive. With Musician, you can learn guitar, piano, ukulele, bass, or singing at your own home, at your own pace, and for a fraction of the price of traditional lessons. Become the musician you always wanted to be. Visit musician.com/Doug to try Musician with a 20% discount using code DOUG.